I'm Bruce Worsen, pastor of His Place Community Church. The following message came from a Sunday morning right here at His Place.
Why life? Like, really, why life? Do you ever wonder? This is all I did as a teenager, but why life? Like, this life. I mean, if God is trying to teach the infinite mysteries of an incredibly nuanced and balanced and eternal reality, is this bizarre, baffling, fragile, filthy, frustrating human life really the best way to do it? Why not some higher heavenly school for wayward souls, right? Why not some spiritual owner's manual that just plainly lays out all the personal things that we need to live in harmony in heaven? Why life? Why do we have to race against death to squeeze in all these humdrum experiences like doing our taxes and mowing our lawns and cleaning our bathrooms and brushing our teeth and blah, 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 blah? Why? Why? How is this the best way to learn God's most critical and profound transcendent truths? Why life? Is this really the best that God could do? Does it not seem underwhelming, or at the very least, like, inefficient? Shouldn't life be a nonstop thrill ride of intense emotions and obvious spiritual lessons that we just learn as we step into our paradigm-shifting identity as children of omnipotence itself? Like, do you ever think that? Well, I do, and I think we all do somewhere. You know, it's in there. These aren't small questions, but they are always there. Underneath all of our boredom and frustration and confusion that we feel all the time. And the one thing that we do know for certain is that the problem will persist until we seek an answer and really ask, and like, why? Why life? Why are we doing it? Because hidden meaning stays hidden until we take the time to dig it up. So you can just kind of keep walking through it, or you can actually ask why. Why are we doing things this way? And yet, most of us, we won't make room to take the time without a good reason to stop and dig for that meaning. We just won't ask the question. So God explicitly gave us the promise that gives our digging a purpose. And it's this: none of life is pointless because all of life is the lesson. Okay? And He means all of it. We're talking the brush and the teeth, every last little bit of it, because if we truly trust His word, He's the one who says, and through His word, we know that all things, okay, all things, we're talking everything, the dentist, everything, all things work together for good to those who love God, because we are God's handiwork. We are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which He prepared in advance for us to do. There's a plan, and we're supposed to be doing it. This is what we're doing. So I'm sorry, but every stinking minute carries the capacity to contribute something good in God's plan. Even snaking your septic system, it's part of it. Trust me, I have gotten closer to God in those moments, and oh, it is. He's like, this is what it's like for me dealing with you all the time. Anyway. The truth is, there is no such thing as a wasted moment or an unnecessary experience in every single inch of any human life. And I was reminded of that this last week when we rejoined Joseph in Bruce's sermon, because Bruce has been walking us through some of those deeper truths that are buried in Joe's seemingly simple story, like the profound foreshadow of God's future plan in Jesus in the life of Joseph, right? And also why we have to wait in what feels like the pointless white space between bigger points, you know, like the big story that's going on between the story that you get to read about. And also how we saw how God builds, you know, temporary betrayal and slavery and suffering into lasting relationships and freedom and joy. But last week, we also saw another huge reason why human life is lived out as a story, why we tell the stories. And it's this: it's because stories are the best way to compress and catalog information. There's just so much meaning in there, because without writing a word, right, what we did last week, without writing and adding another word, story logic allowed us to infer extra information about the shackles that were used on Joseph, right? If you remember, if you weren't here really briefly, all we did was, Bruce was just going through and digging into the details because we have an uppity someone, Carl, in our congregation who says, well, I got questions about this, which is great because it makes you look deeper at the story. And when you look at the story, you see these details that unpack stuff. And we realized that because his captors were spice traders, not slave traders, well, Joe's slave shackles were likely common camel hobbles, right? Because that's what they would have had. They wouldn't have carried, you know, slave shackles. They would have had stuff for their camel. So that just changes this little piece of the story that you can see more clearly. And although that might seem like a very small detail, that is actually a huge principle. Because that means every story can be unpacked. Okay? Unpacked. There's just so much more beneath the surface of every story. Because, you see, stories aren't empty containers. They are compressed files. And that is why memory experts, like myself, just kidding, no. Memory experts use a thing called a mind palace. We've talked about this in the past. Have you ever heard of a mind palace? I think Sherlock Holmes famously did it, right, to remember things. A mind palace. And the people at the very real memory championships, which I would love to attend one day, and then forget where I parked probably, which is hilarious. But they, memory experts, they use a mind palace to connect things that they want to remember to a narrative story. And they do this to like remember pi to like 30,000 places. And the way that they do it is they just make a story out of the things that they want to remember. So like, let's imagine that they want to just remember a long number. So let's say your bed represents the number one. And then they're like, okay, and my slippers are the number five and the bathroom is a seven. So if you have a part of the number you're trying to remember that's 157, you just write a little story that you just can easily remember about the time when you woke from bed and put on your slippers to go to the bathroom, 157, okay? Neat, right? Yeah, you won't do it, but they do. So it works, and as cool as that is, what I'm telling you this morning is that God wired this world and our minds to attach more than numbers to every single element of this life. So every little detail that we experience every single day has the power to communicate complex concepts like morality and history and warnings and advice and identity and reality and purpose. And that is exactly why if you were to come home and you saw like a wrecked car out in front, like in your driveway, right? Your first words aren't, give me the data. No, they're, what happened? Right? Which is another way of just saying, tell me the story. That's how I'll get the information. Tell me the story. Because story is how we figure things out. And when we want somebody to see the big picture, to really understand it all, we simply tell the whole story. And that's why we get this weird life. It's a big story. Our life story is a spiritual zip file for our human mind. Okay? It's packed with all of that stuff. The whole message, the big picture is in there. We just got to unpack it. And being wired that way allows God to communicate massive data in a very memorable way. It's just, we're swimming in it all the time. And so it's there for anybody as long as we are willing to dig deeper and to try and unpack and see what it really means. And this is the exact same way that Jesus did this when he packed God's huge teachings into tiny parables that could be mined for more meaning, right? They have a surface level to them. And then if you've ever read your Bible for more than a week, you go back and you read and you're like, oh, I'm seeing new things. And it just keeps blossoming and there's more and more because there's more meaning underneath the surface level as the listener matures. And so that's why we're told Jesus himself taught this way. As a matter of fact, with many similar parables, many little stories, Jesus spoke the word, God's infinite big truth. Use little stories to speak God's word to them as much as they could unpack and understand. He did not say anything, in fact, to them without using a parable. That's a crazy big statement if you think about it. He didn't say anything without using a parable. Jesus did this because creation does this. Get it? I mean, this is, you could say God's only speaking in parable because it's our life that where it's happening. God's big truth is already attached to every little detail, from the seeds and the soil and fruit and stones and bread and water to doors and fathers and weddings and birth and death, right? All of these things, this vocabulary that you already have here in life that is memorable, has so much more meaning. Because all of life is God's memory palace just waiting to be unpacked. He's like, don't you see there's so much there underneath the surface? So think about that, really. I mean, think about that as you're just doing your everyday stuff. Next time you go to the store to shop for a fresh avocado that you had to patiently wait for, you know, as it ripens for that 30 seconds where it's ripe before it's gross, you know? Like there's a lesson in there, right? Like timing has to be just right when you're waiting for that, so that it's invisible nutrition, the qualities that you can't even see can go into your body and improve your human health and all of the different functions. There's so much, right? It's just more than you can possibly imagine, and it makes you realize maybe there's something bigger. There's bigger lessons about your relation to creation than just the taste of the avocado toast. Maybe there's a lot more to it. Maybe God is hiding his truth in plain sight underneath everything. And he's just waiting for you to see what you can find when you look past the surface of your story. And I'm talking breakfast. You can just start right there, right? Because hear this, the shallow things that just seem shallow. It is just an avocado, right? The shallow things are never the whole point. I know. Yeah. That's the shriek of, is that true? I can't. But they aren't, and we know it. I mean, we pretend we don't know, but the shallow things are never the whole point. They are just the handles that we use to grab hold of the deeper truth, right? You have that little experience and you think about it, but if you think about it, you start to see a bunch of stuff. Because truth isn't built on this world. This world is built on truth. So it's behind everything. It's just under there waiting for it. That's the foundation of this universe, is that truth. Everything God created down here is a simplified and symbolic shadow of an infinite and incredible reality up there. And here's why that is so great. Whether you catch the information or you miss the meaning, because a lot of the time it'll just sail right past you. All the, you know, every day you don't stop and you just, it just goes right past you. But even if you miss the meaning, the symbols stay in your story. And they'll just stay there waiting for you to unpack God's bigger picture. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power, his divine nature, have been clearly seen by those willing to dig, because they are being understood from what has been made. Right? It's just there. And this is all done so that people are without excuse. You can't say, I didn't know. He's like, did you have an avocado? It was in there, you know. Stop and think about it. It is everywhere. And that means something wonderful. That means that life is never boring. It just looks boring if you don't know how loaded it is. Right? If you think it is just the shallow stuff, yeah, you're like, all right, here we go to the, you know, boring stuff again. But it is just filled with meaning, because we're supposed to use every single day and every single thing that we do and every in an everyday life to learn eternal truth. And never, ever are we supposed to live like life is just filler. And yet we do, right? Many of us still live like God is just padding his script, just adding some extra deleted scenes, you know, to everything. Just padding his script with things like dishes and deadlines and dental work. And we're just waiting for the spiritual stuff to start. When the truth actually is, the spiritual stuff is happening in the dishes and the deadlines and the dental work. I mean, truthfully, if you just stop and think about it and say, well, what am I supposed to learn about this God? Well, he's drilling away. He's like, there's a lesson in there. Brush your teeth. Take care of your temple. You know, all of that. It's just there. And because when God authors a story, when the creator of the universe authors a story, there's no boring parts. There's no pointless pieces, and there's no loose ends that, you know, didn't serve a purpose. He only writes these gripping, mind-bending blockbusters. And if we don't get it, we don't understand what's so great about it, it's just because we haven't mined it for all of its meaning. We just watched it on the surface level and we didn't see what it was really saying. It's like watching the movies Wall-E, Avatar, or King Kong, if you've seen any of those, and you're like, oh yeah, a story about a big monkey or something, and you're, but you miss the meaning underneath all those movies. There's a message that's supposed to make you think about how humans should really handle nature. Did we go too far? Yeah, maybe that was not a good idea. All, you know, it's in there. And if you haven't, see, think about it, okay? Because I watched Wall-E, and I tell you what, that movie made me more concerned about environmentalism and artificial intelligence than any pamphlet or protest that I have ever seen. I was like, that's no, Elon, is how I felt about, like, let's slow down. I'm scared now. So if God really is, and he is, but if he really is the author of your story, don't you think that he would pack every minute of your movie with more meaning than every Oscar-winning thriller, right? Wouldn't he just not waste it? Wouldn't there just be so much in there all the time? I think so. And that's what John Eldridge, author of the tiny book Epic, thinks. We've brought this book up a couple times. Me and Bruce actually just out of nowhere after last week, we both said, you know what this makes me think of? And it was almost like, one, two, three, say it, Epic. Like we were like, yeah. Anyway, you should read it. It's a great, it's a teeny little book. You can read it in an hour. And I'm inclined to agree with what he has to say, because as he points out in his little book, every story we love is an echo of the true story we live. That's why we love it. Our favorite subject is us, right? But it's the true story of what's actually going on. And that means God felt that some information was just so important that he had to make it unavoidably obvious, you know, barely put it under the surface. So while movies like Wall-E still require a little digging to learn lessons about human responsibility, oh, maybe we shouldn't surrender everything over to the computers so quick and litter all the time, right? And I was like, thank you, Wall-E, for that. You might have to think a little bit to get there. But your author wrote your story with some information just sitting on the surface to be clearly seen, whether you acknowledge it or not. It's just so obvious if you just stop and just take 1 second to look at it. And here's the joke. We know that we already know what God wants us to know because life is how we show what we know. Got it? No, you don't. That was a lot. That was a mouthful. So I'm going to say that again. The joke is this. We know that we already know what it is that God wants us to know because what we do in life is how we show the stuff that we know. So to say that another way, we show what we know about love in the way that we love, right? Like I go try to do it and I show you what I think love is and you can see it in how I love. We show what we know about creating things in the way that we create. We show what we know about stories in the stories that we tell, that we write, that we make. We say this is how a story should go. And for some reason, all of our favorite stories follow the same formula. And it goes like this. Something was good. Something goes wrong. Something is fought for. So something good gets restored. That's your writing class for the day. You can go write a top 10 movie. Like, that's it. Every single one of them. It's a fun actual thing that you can do. Go home and, like, just any movie that you've seen that was, like, a big hit. That's the order. That's how it goes. It's good, broken, battled, restored. Any other plot just feels false to us. Why? It's so simple. It's because it's our story. It is our story. That's what we are living out. That's what's happening right now. So every single fairy tale and every single big war epic and superhero movie that we write and read and watch is an attempt to connect with the one story that we really know because we live it. Because God authored our lives to make his core truth easily accessible. Just right there, he's saying, you know how it goes, you're in it right now. And so while the infinite application of God's truth, and then just, oh, how, because it's mind-boggling, right? It just goes on and on infinity. The infinite application may be compressed throughout all of creation. These lessons that you can extract from just everything, everywhere. But the big picture just couldn't be more clear. Your story is his story. And you are at the part of that story where there is a fight to be restored, to get things back to the way that they were when things were good. And if our lives are part of that pattern, which they clearly are, you know, that's why you feel like your life is the battle. We're in this battle right now to get things back to the way that they were. And if you are living that storyline out, then the best thing that we can do is simply stay true to that story. You know, finish that four-part story. Stay to it until we get to that happy ending where everything is restored. Don't go off script. But to do that, we need to have a script, right? We need to know exactly how we're supposed to do this thing. Because your life is not random. It is not shallow. It's not boring. It is very specifically engineered, very specifically written to reach and teach you the truth that you need to fight your way past this place and into the arms of a loving Savior who is just ready to set things right and give you that happy ending. Amen? Yeah. We got to live like it. And here's the trick. Scripture is our script for his story. Okay? You got it? That's its role. It has all of the stuff in it to tell you how to do this thing right to get to the end. I want you to do me a favor real quick. Can you all turn around real quick and see the screens in the back there? You see them? Hello. Hello. I want you to notice that all of my words are written, which means all I'm doing right now is reading and following. Is that wrong?
Of course not.
Of course not. It says so back there. No, it's not wrong, because they are my words. And I took great care to write them, whether you like them or not. I took a long time. I finished last night at like late o'clock, just taking this week, because I wrote them to best express what I really mean. Right? They're not me. They're completely me. They're the best way I could express me. And they actually save me from being insincere, because they keep me from going rogue and saying things without thought, which I do. I'm doing it right now. This is not on there. I'll do this a lot. I'll start talking and I'll go off and then they'll be like, you lost me, Noah. And I go, that's because I went off script. This is smart. And this is because going off script is the easiest way for a story to go off the rails. Okay? So it really does mean that you're more sincere when you are following the true words. And the same goes for your life. It is the same idea. Now, I know, I can hear the murmurs. I've had this conversation for years with a lot of people. And I know a lot of us hear the word script, and we think fake or boring, you know, because it's actors, it's not real. But that is because we mistakenly think that reality means spontaneity. Right? Like it has to have this like spontaneous, that's what real life is. So reading and following is lifeless. I'm telling you, it isn't. It's actually life-saving because it's a guideline. It's a guardrail, just like everything else. Like other guidelines, our script gives us those guardrails to keep our life on track. It's when you go off script that things actually start falling apart. Obeying our author doesn't make us fake. It makes us faithful, right? Just staying in that script. And it takes faithful following of God's word to finish the story the way he wrote, with a happy ending. I mean, that's the story. If you want to improvise, you're jeopardizing your happy ending. And that was always his idea. For the record, the happy endings, he invented them, not us. We just steal it because God designed our life so we would see that we actually want all the things that he writes. So he said, yeah, take a look at this. We go, oh, I like the happy ending. He goes, I knew you would. I knew you would. So understand this. It's a really, you know, it's a crazy concept, but I'm going to say it very bluntly. Plagiarism is good when the original author is God. Okay? Because he's perfect. He's perfect. His story is perfect. And so any attempt to change it can only make it worse. Because you can't improve perfection, but you can spoil it. So if you deviate, you're likely just making it imperfect. And that's what happened back in the garden. We know the story, right? In the beginning, God was like, I got a great creation, a great story for you. Here you go. It's everything you could ever want, and it's perfect. And here's your script. Don't eat that. we went off script right away, right? We're like, what if I ate it? I got an idea. Let's do some improv. Hey, what do you... Whoops! It's when you went off script that everything, all of reality got knocked off track. Because when everything is perfect, the only thing original is sin. And that's why we call it original sin. Not really, but you can tell people that. Yeah, it's original sin. I mean, in a sense, it's true. It's the only thing that is original in perfection. It's all that we have to add to God's perfect story is sin. So we shouldn't be adding anything. We should just say the lines, which is why we are the characters in the story, not the creator. He's the creator. He's the author. And Jesus showed us how things need to go if we want to play our part right, if we want to get to the next act where we get to restore and reconcile the good that we lost. Like, here's how you do that. Follow the script. And he told us how he did it. He told us plainly. He said, Jesus, I do not speak on my own. But the Father who sent me commanded me to say all that I have spoken. And I know that his command leads to eternal life. There's that happy ending. So whatever I say is just what the Father has told me to say. Done. For I have come down, he says. I had to cut a bunch of scriptures because he says this more than you think. He keeps telling you, this is how it goes. I have come down from heaven, not to do my will, not to do anything original, but to do the will of him who sent me. For my Father's will, right? The original author, my Father's will in his story is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him in the same way that Jesus looks to the Father and believes in him, you know, trust the author, trust the that, everyone who does that shall have eternal life. That's why we're doing it. Everyone who just follows gets that eternal life. So listen, basically what I'm saying is Jesus didn't freelance his life, so why would you? Right? Why would you do it? He followed the creator's story perfectly. He wrote, or he spoke, what the writer gave him, exactly as it was. He did what the director wanted, and he trusted the author's ending. And since he stayed on script all the way to the cross, which is a hard thing to do, to say, this is really what you want, this is this, okay. But you just follow the script, play your part, do exactly what you're supposed to do. And because he did that, the sad parts, even the sad parts of the story, were revealed to be the turning points in the battle. Because his superficial tragedy on the cross turned out to be a supernatural triumph. Because he knew the story. That's how it's going to work. He's got to trust the author. And in the end, we get to look back, right? It's so fun in the Bible now, having the New Testament. You get to look back and see how every seemingly boring detail... I'm looking at you, Leviticus. Ooh, there's plenty in there. And how every single plot point that felt pointless... I'm looking at you, Ecclesiastes. All of it, every word, was hiding the whole story of the big picture the whole time. Even though it felt like it was hard to see when you're reading, like, yeah, Leviticus and Ecclesiastes, you're going, okay, I don't get it. Because the truth is, every page, every single page of every story, of every life, is just jam-packed with the truth that we need to find the ending we crave. It's in there. It's showing us how to get there. So why life? It's because God speaks in stories. And he does that because his truth is just too big to be put in a list. So it has to be compressed into a life. Because life is how he surrounds us with all the information that we need to make it home. And also it's how he keeps every single one of his kids within reach and just one step away from his help. Do you see the love in that? It's an inescapable story. He's like, your answers are literally around you all the time. Your life is saturated. Your life is the answer that you're looking for. So all you have to do is just say, so what is this about? And he goes, that's it. You're taking the step. I can help you. I can unpack it. I can show you the truth. You can learn your way. You can make it home. So the question is really this. All this to say, is that how you see life? Honestly, today. Is that how you see life? We all got stories going on right now. Like, I got crummy stories that I'm like, ugh, I wish this to be over. Whatever's going on, Are you looking at your story that way? Are you digging through all of the details, all the daily details in your humdrum story? Are you looking through it to find the deeper meaning that God is just dying for you to unpack, saying, "I see, I wrote that part. Ask me why. What am I doing under there? What is he writing in your life?" Or are you living like God forgot to put purpose in long stretches of your story? Bless you. We do that a lot, right? Like, we do that where we just think that, like, okay, well, God's going to do something, but, like, for now, we'll call it, like, a wilderness moment or a desert. Mm-mm-mm. Look, go back, read your Bible. There's a lot going on, even in the desert, in the wilderness, all the time. Huge, important things, right? Does your work, marriage, parenting, or even coming to church, does it feel like a fruitless field where you're just waiting for something spiritual? Then you're not looking at it right. Because remember, we've been going through Joseph. Joseph's pit and his shackles and desert and dungeon were all hiding in plain sight the love and the loss and the fight and the freedom in God's supernatural script. It's right there, the whole story in everyone's life. And so likewise, you need to know that your life isn't filler because God doesn't use empty words. Period. He just doesn't. He's God. He's the perfect author. And if he is writing a story, it is incredible. And every single day, your story is getting written at about a page a minute. That's what, you know, in script writing, they say it's about a page a minute. Figure that whenever you're trying to make a story, make a movie, which means you get about 1,000 pages a day of script that you're churning out. Your story's being written. And that means a 29 million page story in your lifetime. 29 million pages. That's 10 Eiffel Towers high. That's how much story that you have. And if you think that pressing Joe's short little story to see the right shackles is neat, which it is, that's cool that you can just find those things in that little story. Just imagine what you will find if you actually use God's script to mine your massive story for all the meaning that he wants you to find. Even that septic system. Amen? Amen. Let's pray, guys. Father God, we love you and we thank you and we trust you and we thank you for writing our story with zero wasted moments and infinite opportunity to know you better. And so, Holy Spirit, we ask that you just train us and guide us to dig deeper into our daily life and unpack the ordinary stories to discover your extraordinary life-saving truth. And Lord Jesus, we praise you for showing us the true story buried behind every life and for proving that following God's word as our script is the only way to get to our happy ending. And to that we all said, amen. Amen.
Well, thanks for listening in. Why don't you join us on a Sunday morning? If you'd like more information about the church, just point your browser to hisplacechurch.com. Until next time, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and make his face shine upon you.